anybody remember what our theme was for 2020? Anybody? Press towards the mark. Some of us remember, some of us don't. Okay, so there's a reason that we have these words on the wall. That way when I ask you, hey, what's our theme for 2021? Oh, we need visuals. Okay, I need visuals. Some of us need visual aids to help us remember. And I need those things in my life. So I thought God laid it upon my heart this year to, there's going to be more. I'm not a decorator, but I can go to Hobby Lobby and I can buy some wooden and metal letters and I can nail them to the wall so that we can remember. And when we forget, we can be reminded. Okay? So 2020 was about pressing towards the mark. And what do we have to do in order to press towards the mark? We have to be moving forward, correct? We have to be moving in a direction towards the mark. And we know that God is before us. He's not behind us. So we need to be moving forward. So we are going to put the hammer down. We're going to put the pedal to the metal. And we're going to fly into 2021. And God has some good stuff for us this year. And I'm super excited about what he's going to do. But we have to forget what the things that are behind us. We have to remember what Paul said. Press towards the mark. Forget those things that are behind us. Hey, we are going all in for Jesus. And you know what? God was good to New Life Baptist Church in 2020. He really was. We think about all the negativity, and I've talked about this with you guys and with the youth, and when we think about it, we just think about all the negative things. But man, physically even, God was so good to New Life Baptist Church in 2020. We have a building that we're meeting in today, okay? We don't have to wonder, are we going to be able to meet somewhere on Sunday? Can we have midweek Bible studies? Can we do fellowship dinners? Can we do this? Can we have a live stream event at the church building? We can, because God provided that for us. We have discipleship taking place. We have people's lives being changed. And we need to remember to think on the good things. Paul tells us Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, to think on all of this list of things. These things that Paul lists out in chapter 4, verse 8. He tells you, hey, think on these things. Why? Because they're truth. Because they're backed up in God's word. Because they are alive and they should be active in our life. Because the devil wants us to think on the negative things. He wants us to be distracted with the things of this world. And he wants us to think, oh man, I can't do this because of what I am or who I am. We need to think on what is true. And God reminds me of that through people and through his word all of the time. Hey, just think on what's true. Just think on my word and remember that. Because people are going to let you down. Things are going to let you down. But God's word, man, it's truth. And it's solid as a rock. And we have to do that. So goodbye 2020. Hello 21, right? 2020 made some of us stronger. I believe that. Some of us, our faith grew in 2020. At least I hope so. But I truly believe that 2020 stunted growth. And I'm not talking about numbers of NLBC. I'm not talking, none of this today is about anything about numbers, okay? Because oftentimes when we think of grow, that's what we think of. We want to see physical proof of this growth, right? And I'll get ahead of myself, but if we're growing spiritually the way we're supposed to, physical growth will happen because of that, because we're accomplishing what comes after growing. There's a reason it says grow there and grow there, and it doesn't say go yet, because we've got some growing to do. It's easy for us to go. A lot of us want to go. Man, if you listen to Mission Focus this week, you're just like, I got to do something, right? It's because growth happened, because God's word came alive in your life, and it lit the fire, or maybe rekindled the fire. But we need to stop. We need to pause for a moment. And yes, the Great Commission is to, man, we need to go. I'm not saying we're not supposed to go. But there's some things that have to happen before we can go. And we have to be serious about this part, this growing process. And none of us in this room, myself included, are ever going to come to a point in our life where this doesn't need to happen. Remember that. Well, I'm a grown-up, right? I'm old. You still got some growing to do. You will be growing until the day you meet Jesus Christ. So 2020 probably stunted some growth. I'm confident of that. In my own life, even. Being quarantined, being locked down, not able to do the things that we normally do. So if you're not doing the things that you're normally doing, what happens is you become dormant, right? You become just like nothing's growing. You're like a tree that is planted by a river that has no water. We know the word says to be like a tree planted by the river of living water, right? But instead, we're like a tree that is in the midst of a drought, and we have no water, and there's no growth, and we begin to go dormant, our leaves fall off, and we look like the trees outside right now. We're in that, you become in that dormant state where there's nothing really that's good that's happening, because we'll find ourselves in the wrong place at the right time. And that's not God's will. He does not desire for us to do nothing. He does not desire for us to sit idle. He desires to be for us to be actively pursuing Him. I want to read a couple verses to you, and if you can turn quickly, you can be with me. But Isaiah 55, verse 7 or 6 and 7. I thought I had these copy and pasted in here, and I was just going to read them to you, but I didn't. So, but in Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and our God, for he will abundantly pardon." We need to be seeking the Lord with everything that we have. In the uncertain times, okay, so the pandemic didn't stop at 2020, right? And as we heard at Mission Focus, there's a promise that it's going to stop, right? From someone that is going to be in charge, but we know that God is in control. The president of the United States is not in control. The leaders of our government are not in control. God is in control, and we're still dealing with a pandemic. So we're going to be living in this in 2021 still, okay? So nothing is changing there. So we need to be seeking God. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Instead of crying to your brother and sister saying, oh, poor me, call out to God and say, God, I need your help. I need your strength. I don't want to be as one of the wicked ones. I don't. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this. I could quote it, but I'm going to read it to you. It says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Church, we got to be diligently seeking God. We have to be diligently at his feet, soaking up everything that he has preserved for us. We have to be so diligent about that, because we're so diligent about so many things in our life that mean nothing. Well, they mean so much to me. They mean nothing to God. There's nothing that's going to grow you spiritually out of some of the things that we're diligently spending our time doing. God only gives us a certain amount of time, and we need to be diligently crying out to God and seeking him for direction. When I was a child, when I was growing up, my family, we were country folks, right? And we always had a garden. And as a family, we love to be in the garden. And we have some gardeners and some farmers and some people in the body here that know what I'm talking about. But we like to be in the garden, and we like to work the dirt. We like to work it up really nice. And my dad would spend a lot of time running the tiller and preparing the soil. He would prepare that soil to where it was just like perfect, so that the seeds that were being planted in it would be able to grow quickly and strong. We knew that when we planted those seeds in the ground, that after a short amount of days, right, each seed has a certain amount of days before it produces the fruit, and you can almost number those days on the calendar, like, I will have tomatoes. Our goal was to have tomatoes by the 4th of July, right? It was just that, I can remember that. Sometimes it would be before the 4th of July, sometimes it wouldn't. But we were always, man, I loved tomatoes, and I loved to see those tomato plants grow and bloom and begin to see the fruit on them. And we were the weird ones that would cut the green ones off and fry them up and eat them because we couldn't wait. But we loved to spend time in the garden. We made sure, here's the thing though, as much time as we spent working the garden up, preparing it. We would plow it in the fall, and then we would till it up in the spring, and we'd prepare the soil, we'd plant the seeds, we'd plant the plants, and then we didn't just go sit in the house and wait and watch the calendar knowing, okay, 4th of July is coming. There was things that we had to do during the process of the seeds being in the ground after we planted them. We had to continue to work the soil. We had to water them, right? Because sometimes it doesn't rain. And then we had to do the painstakingly process of what no one likes to do, pulling the weeds, right? That's the worst part of having a garden. I think that the Madoles have it figured out. Just put plastic down. Holy smokes. But you know what? We got to pull the weeds. Because oftentimes, if we don't, you know what happens? So as I became an adult and we became a city folk, I'm like, I still have to have a garden. And we always had a garden when we lived in Harrisonville. And it would start out, it would look like my dad's garden. It would. And I would be out there and we would work it and we would water it and pull a few weeds. But then we would forget for a week. And then you'd go out there and you're like, holy smokes. What the heck happened? And they were just little weeds. And you know what? If I would have just taken the tiller and annihilated those suckers, but instead I'm like, ugh, this is overwhelming. What am I going to do? Well, I guess I'll just let them grow. And you know what those weeds did? Those weeds overtook what I had planted and what I had spent so much time, and my kids and wife had spent so much time taking care of. And then we became like weed farmers. Not that kind of weed, okay, but weeds. It was not legal to do that. We did not do that, I promise you. Dang it. That's one of those things where you speak before you think. We were farming not vegetables, but weeds and grass and things like that. And I would even like, you know what, I'm taking Roundup to these suckers and like spray between the rows. Well, that doesn't work because the Roundup is going to kill everything. It rounds it all up. And then, oh, well, the garden's done. But I seriously enjoy, even to this day, we have a big yard in my city folk yard now, and we're having a garden. Because I want to take care, I want to plant things, and I want to take care of them, and I want to see them grow, and I want to harvest that fruit. And I can't wait for that. Even when I was in high school, I did go to high school, and I did graduate from high school. But when I was in high school, in my senior year, somehow I had come to the point in my science classes to where I could take horticulture. And I'm like, I want to take that class. And I will honestly say, if building trades in the VOTEC in that class is why I graduated, because it was something I was passionate about. I loved to plant things and grow things, and I was good at it, and I just loved it. And it was something, it just came naturally to me because that's how I was raised. I love to see things grow. I love to see seed in the ground and food on the table. And the growth process, the maintenance that takes place during that, if we are diligent to do our job to take care of the garden. And you know what's really amazing is that today, this very day, I love to see things grow even more. And I'm not talking about a garden. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Because God has, I still love to have a garden, and I'm going to have a garden. But God has changed my perspective on things. And I love to see people get the seed into their soil. And to see that seed germinate and begin to grow. And I love to be able to invest what it's going to take to see that seed grow. And I love to see that growth process happen. And there's something about planting a church that you get to see that magnified. Because we're a small body and we can't hide. And we can see where there's stagnant growth and where there's flourishing growth. We have to do the maintenance still, though. 2021 is going to be exactly what I'm talking about. Each year, since we've started, 3 years now, God has given me a theme for each year. And we've seen some success and we've seen some failures, and I have failed to communicate our vision for each year. And I pray that God will use me to communicate our vision this year to where we can really get serious about growing. Because we have to be serious about it. Because if we're not, what are we doing? We're having a holy huddle. Right? We considered our ways. We focused on what matters. We pressed towards the mark. But this year, we're truly going to get focused if you're willing. Okay? You're to get focused on our theme, which is to grow. Because growing has to happen. The growth that God has given me this year is not what I said. It's not physical growth. I'm not talking about let's knock this wall out because we are going to have so many people here. You know what? Lord willing. Lord willing. Mr. Lowell, let us knock this wall out because growth is happening spiritually, which is producing physical growth, but really it's spiritual growth. It all goes hand in hand. Oftentimes we get them twisted though when we want physical before spiritual because it seems easier because we can see it, we can feel it, we can touch it. But really spiritual growth is the same way, church. We can feel it, we can touch it, we can see it because we're all part of it. So turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Peter. I thought Travis hacked my computer. I was like, oh man. 2 Peter chapter 3 is where we're going to be. 2 Peter chapter 3 is where God took me 3 or 4 months ago to begin to reveal to me what we're going to focus on this year and what we're going to build this year upon and what the body of Christ is going to do this year. And I know that was a bit of a lengthy introduction, but I want to make sure that we are all understanding where we're going and how we're going to get there. And it might take a couple weeks to get there, but it's probably going to take all year. So 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 15. The end of the chapter here is where we're going to start. In verse 15, and it says, "And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. In verse 18, I want us all to memorize this verse. Okay, we have 300 and some days to memorize this verse, but we need to memorize it. Verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." We're going to focus on that verse, but we're going to talk about this today. Let's pray. Father God, we pray today, God, that we are attentive to your word. God, that we are so focused on what you have for us today. God, that the distractions of this world are none, and we are not focused on anything but your word, sitting at your feet, hearing from you. And God, I pray that you would just use me as a mouthpiece to communicate what you have for us. And God, that you would be honored and glorified and magnified. And God, that you would light a fire in us to grow. God, to grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are. God, not in who we are or who we're going to become, but who you are in our lives and in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, like I said, there's no one in this room today that has come to a point that they have no room for spiritual growth. And I love how Peter wraps this book up right here, because chapter 3 is a reminder to the believers that are, the believers in the Peter's writing to, man, they are suffering some hard stuff, okay? If you've studied out the book of 1st and 2nd Peter, they're going through some persecution, they're going through some trials, they're scattered abroad, and Peter's like, man, they're just trying to encourage them, because they're in the midst of what we're in the midst of. They're dealing with those that are mocking the returning of Christ and those that are saying, this is never going to happen. You're crazy lunatics. You're wasting your time. Those that believe in that are crazy for believing what the Bible even says. They were in the times of this writing, and those people that are mocking and persecuting, and they're present to this day today. And Peter's reminding the believers, hey, think on the truth and have some faith. And he reminds us, if we back up for just a minute, he reminds us of God's time. And he reminds us that God's clock is not like our clock. God's clock is much different than our clock. Because we live by the clock, and we live by the minutes and by the seconds of each day, and we are so scheduled, and God's clock is much different. And it says, if you back up in verse 8 of chapter 3, it says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. You're like, dang, that's harsh. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And you can do the math, and you're like, well, that math don't line up with my math. No, it doesn't. God's timing is different than our timing. His clock and calendar is much different. And he's just waiting a day or two. He's given some time. He's put the pause. He reminds us that God doesn't want to send anyone to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance in verse 9. He's like, I'm holding back the wrath. I'm giving people a chance to believe in Jesus Christ. He desires for all to come to repentance. So in our text today, we're going to look at this all year long. We're going to see our theme. That verse in verse 18 is where God took me, and we need to spend some time here. But we're going to talk about 15 through 18 today, because God is so long-suffering. We could give an account, each of us could stand and give an account on how God has been long-suffering to each of us. God is long-suffering when his children get crossways, right? Because we all get a little crossways. We get off in the weeds, we get off in the bushes, we get involved in things we're not supposed to. He's long-suffering when we act like we ought not. But he's also long-suffering to the lost world. Those that don't believe in him, those that mock and have no idea who he is. He's pouring out his long-suffering and his grace and his mercy on the lost world, and he's charged each of us to grow so that we can go to the lost world. I think that a lot of us, we have not grown. And we're trying to lay out a challenge to the believer, to the church, that can't be, it's not a task that can be done, because they have not grown. Now, I'm not giving you an excuse that you can't go share the gospel, because if you're saved today, you can go share the gospel. I promise you that. No excuse. There's no excuse. You have the ability because God saved you, and you know how that happened, so go tell somebody else about it. But I'm telling you, sometimes it's hard because there's been no growth, and you're like, well, how do I engage in that, or how do I get to that point? You need to grow. Verse 15, it says that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. God wants the world to be saved. He wants the gift that he gave to the world to be accepted. Not a select, elected amount of people, but the world. He's long-suffering. He's holding it back to give the world a chance to be saved, because he's not willing that any should perish and die and go to hell. Peter makes mention of Paul here, and it's about his letters as well. And he makes mention that, you know what, some of them are hard to understand. And if you've read parts of Romans, you're like, I am not a rapper, and I have a hard time reading that, and I have a hard time understanding exactly what Paul's trying to tell me here, right? And we use that as an excuse. Well, I just don't understand. I can't get it. I can't read this. I don't understand what it's trying to say. And then sometimes we even go and pick up a watered-down version. You're like, well, maybe I can understand this better. Well, that's okay, but God has preserved this Bible, this King James text, for us because it's the closest. It is the Word of God, right? There's no errors. It's infallible. It's not changed. But yet we're like, well, I don't understand it. That's an excuse. And we use that excuse for the flesh. You know, the word is just so hard for me to understand, so I just don't bother. You know what James chapter 1 verse 5 says? It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you're having trouble understanding, why don't you ask God? Hey God, can you help me understand this so I don't give up? But it's so much harder to do that because it's super easy to give up. It's super easy to just say, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I quit. It's so easy. You know what? It's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Wednesday night, Brian Clark preached from the Word about this very thing. And you know what? If we give the flesh a centimeter, it's going to take a mile. Don't give an occasion to the flesh. Do not give in to the flesh. Crucify the flesh. We have got to quit feeding the flesh, church. We do. Because you know what's growing? The monster that we carry around. The flesh. Because we're feeding it, and it's growing. And we're so focused on growing it that we're not focused at all in the Spirit growing in us. And we become so consumed by it. And I'm not talking about getting fat. I'm not talking about eating. We have to eat. We have to, you know, I know all that. But we become so consumed on fleshly desires that we make an excuse of why we can't grow spiritually. I think that some of us, maybe all of us, need to get off of our tails. We need to crucify the flesh, and we need to get busy in God's Word. And that's going to take us sitting on our tails, crucifying the flesh, and getting busy in God's Word. Because we have to stop. We got to say, world, not today. The world's going to be there, y'all. It is. We have to stop, and we have to grow. We have to get serious. So God will give us understanding. He's going to give us the understanding when we, you know what, we're going to come to places in God's Word that we're like, that makes no sense. That's what's awesome about God's Word, is that we're going to come to things and you're like, that makes no sense. But what's awesome about God's Word is that if you spend some time in it, He's going to make it make sense. Because it all fits together from the beginning into the end. And if we just dig into it a little bit and we begin to study it, so much is unlocked. But don't forget, hey, God, show me. Give me some understanding here. Be diligent to seek Him for guidance. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, it says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Again, seek God. So why grow? There's so many reasons that we are to grow. The list is far more than what we could even think about looking at. But one that we can see right here in front of us today in our text is verse 16, which, you know, we're dealing with those that are unlearned and unstable. It says, and also in his epistle, speaking in them of these things, in which some are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, and then we see this word rest, as they do. Also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So what does that word rest mean? It means to twist or wrestle. We come to something and we don't know what it is, so we just twist it, or we don't like what it is, right? Because God's guidance and correction and direction for our life is painful, so we're like, twist that thing. We're like, and that's not the way I want it. And that's what happens. That is what is happening. Because they're unlearned and they're unstable. And we have to grow because, you know, face it, some of us are unlearned and unstable and we have no idea what the Word of God really is telling us or what it truly means. It's easy for one that doesn't know to take the Word out of context and twist it in a way that works for them. And this is a very dangerous place, and this is why we need to be able to rightly divide the Word and to know the context of what we're reading and who it's written to and what's going on in the time and so on and so forth. But because we know the whole Bible is not written to us, church. It's not. But it's all written for us. We have to be able to divide that. And you're like, I don't know what that means. Well, you need to get some teaching in your life. Okay, you need to spend some time. You need to come to Tuesday night Bible study. You need to be discipled. You need to sit down one-on-one with someone. You need to spend some time and get some questions answered for you so that you can begin to grow. Because the more you grow, the more you're going to know and understand, and the more you're going to grow. Peter reminds the believer to know the truth, to really know it, so that you're not like those that are blown around with every wind of doctrine, as it talks about in Ephesians chapter 4. So we have to know the truth from the non-truth and the truth from the watered-down truth. And so that we can stand on that truth. You know, Satan is real. And we're a real threat to his mission, church. At least we should be. At least we should be. Some of you maybe are not a threat to Satan. Maybe you find yourselves not being a threat to the mission that the punk has laid out, right? Maybe you are not a threat to disrupting what he has desired for this world. And if you're not growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, then you are not a threat to Satan. Because he's like, they're not doing anything. They're cool. I don't need to mess with them. I don't need to deal with that. Because they're doing exactly what I want them to do. We have to be laser focused. Focused on God and his direction. And our ears have to be tuned. Some of us are listening to a static station. Some of us, we just like to listen to static. I hate that, right? The farther you get away from a radio station, it's like, and it drives me crazy. Some of us like it. That's weird. It is. Think of it spiritually, though. We like static. We like weird noise that just blocks out everything else. We need to reach down and we need to tune the station and listen for God. And get rid of the static, get rid of the noise. We need to tune our ears. Our eyes need to be wiped out and our hearts need to be softened, church. Just as we work the soil of the ground before we plant the seed, we need to let God work our hearts and prepare it. And I'm not just talking about so that you can get saved, right? God has to prepare our hearts to receive the gospel. Yes, I know that. But he has to prepare our hearts to receive his word every single day. But we don't spend any time allowing that to happen. It doesn't do much good to plant seed on hard, stony ground. We're going to look and turn to Luke chapter 8. I want to spend just a little bit of time right here in Luke chapter 8. We're going to look at a parable. And it's familiar to most of us, I'm sure. But we need to see this. Because we need to identify. We got to recognize. We got to figure out, where am I? Where am I in this parable? Where's my heart? How does my heart look? We all can relate to one of these types of soils in our lives. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 5 through 15, we're going to see this. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell upon thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it out. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He's like, listen up. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. He's like, let me explain it to you, class. He says, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then come the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should be believed and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away, and that which fell upon the thorns are they which when they had heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bringeth no fruit to perfection. In verse 15, but that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bringeth forth fruit with patience. So I want to look at these four things today. I want to look at these four types. We see the wayside, the rock, the thorns, and the good ground. We can take it as it is, as it reads, but we must listen to Christ. We have to listen to what God is telling us, because he clearly says the seed is what? The seed is what? The word. Okay, good job. The seed is the word. Remember that. Underline that. Circle that. Because the seed is the word of God. And we should be planters. We should be farmers. So he explains how these seeds can be laid out in each different person's heart. And we all fit in one of these categories, church. The first one is the wayside. Those that are wandering around playing like they're something that they're not. These folks are those that are lost. Those that may not even know that they're lost, but just being wanderers, and every time the word is sown in their lives, it's trodden down by the things around them because they're too stinking busy for God. They ain't got no time for that. The text says those that hear the word, but it doesn't penetrate their hearts because the devil stole it away. Therefore, they remain unsaved, lost, dying, and going to hell. How many times did that happen in your life? You know how many times that happened in my life before I came to Christ? So many times I can't even count. The seeds were sown, my heart was so hard, it was just trodden down, it was plucked away before it even had a chance to even touch the soil. The second one's the rock. This is the seed that fell on the ground that was not worked. The ground is full of rocks. So the seed hits the ground, springs up, but it withers away quickly. We know rocks are not good for the garden. I watch this, I kind of like YouTube. I like some YouTube. Okay, and I watch this guy, he's a farmer up in Minnesota. I like him because he's got a cool accent. But you know what they spend a lot of their time doing in the spring before they do anything? Picking up rocks. Getting the rocks out of the field. They have what's called a rock picker. I'm like, that's genius, because you just pull it behind a tractor and it picks up the rocks. Because, you know, I'm not talking about rocks. I'm talking about, like, rocks. Because they know that if they were to plant a row of crop across the top of that rock, they're going to have a bare spot. It's not going to grow. The seed, when it would fall upon that rock, it would just, the sun would burn it up. Sadly, we see a lot of this in church today. The word may catch on at first in one's life, but there was never anything established, so they gave up on the temptations of this life and fell away. The seed had no chance because it was never allowed to grow roots. And it was never allowed to change the hearer's life. There was no soil. It was hard as a rock. It would be like planting a seed on here. And you know what? We could get it to germinate. A little bit of water, right? The right light. We could get that seed to germinate. It has no chance to grow and produce fruit growing on this pulpit right here. Same way with a rock. The third one, the thorns. So the ground has been broken and the seeds find their way into the soil. And the problem with this one is that there's a problem. There's more weeds in the soil than there are seeds, and the seeds begin to grow, but then they run into a problem. The thorns take over. I can remember growing up as a child, going out and digging up thistles in the pasture. Anybody had to do that? Boy, that's pleasant work, isn't it? I'm like, I thought it was punishment for my grandfather. But there was a reason for it. Cows don't like to eat thistles, right? Thistles aren't good in the hay. They're not good anywhere. We got to get rid of those seeds, son. Or those weeds, son. Because if not, they reproduce. And man, they take over. And the mission is not a priority in the soil's life. The mission is to feed the thorns, feed the weeds. They're focused on the weeds that are growing, and they lose track of the sprouts that have begun to grow out of that seed. And the sprout it's sprung up and has a few roots and begins to grow. But there's too many weeds that are stealing all the nutrients. They're stealing everything that the seed needs, that this new sprout needs. And they choke that sprout out and it dies. And if we're all honest, we have some weeds in our garden. And those weeds are stealing what we need. If we're all honest, we do. And I think that maybe we need to go and pull some weeds. And we know that pulling weeds hurts your back. It's no fun. It seems like it's a waste of time. But get the weeds out of the garden. Get rid of them. Spend some time getting rid of the weeds so that growth can properly happen. And that has to happen in our lives. Everyone in this room probably needs to go pull a weed or two. We got to do some maintenance. Here's the problem, though. Some weeds don't look so bad. Some weeds have flowers. Some weeds you're like, man, those are kind of pretty. I think I'll just let that weed grow because it kind of makes my garden look better. It's got like little purple flowers on it. It's kind of viney. Anybody ever had that purple flower viney weeds in your garden? Takes over everything. You let it grow for a minute because you're like, gosh, that's kind of cute. I like it. Brings a little color to it. And before you know it, it's choked off everything. It's wrapped around things, and you go to pull it, and you're pulling tomato plants out, and everything. It's you're like, holy smokes, what's going on? It's latched onto every aspect of the garden. That's what happens in our life when we allow weeds to grow, because you're like, that weed, it's not so bad. I kind of like it. You see how pretty this weed is? And before you know it, it's got a hold of your leg, and it's pulling you away, and it just consumes you. Lop that sucker off. Lop it off and then pull the root out. We got to do that. I don't care how pretty your weeds are. There is no weed that's good. It's going to destroy what God is doing in your life. It's a matter of fact, it's truth. These weeds represent the things of this world that are destroying the soil that God has prepared. The Bible is very clear to love not the things of this world. It's cut and dry. Then the fourth one is the good ground. And this is the one that we should all desire. But unfortunately, this is not one that we all have. This is the soil that is required to properly grow the seed of the Word of God. So gardeners in the room, here in a short time, because of when we want to plant our garden, we're going to get these plastic things and we're going to put perfect dirt in each little pod, right? That has no weeds, has nothing, and it's going to be perfect. We're going to plant each little seed in there. We're going to put it on. We're going to make a little greenhouse. And we're going to spend time growing these seeds in this perfect soil that there's no contaminants in. We're going to take care of them. We're going to see them grow. And before long, they're going to be growing to where spring's going to come and the garden's prepared. And we're going to take those pods of dirt with this plant in it and we're going to plant them in prepared soil. But if we're not careful, when those are planted in that prepared soil, those weeds are going to come back. We need to remember where that seed started and that soil, how it was so perfectly prepared by God. When we met Him, that day of salvation, when our hearts were so soft and our ground was so worked, that there was no distractions in our life. And our lives were a wreck. Our lives were a complete mess. But that seed got in the dirt and bam, growth started happening. Because the dirt was perfect. The pH levels, all of that scientific stuff, it was perfect. But we lose that. Oftentimes that goes away. Truth is that we have to do work in the garden every single day. Yes, God is the king and the ruler of our lives, but we are a threat to the enemy and he wants our weeds and the rocks in our garden to come back and take. And it takes diligence, church, to keep our soil in good shape, to receive that seed daily. Just as a farmer works their fields continually. The seed is far more than the gospel, like I said. It's the whole Word of God, and we have to have it to grow. What is the purpose of planting a seed in the ground? To see them grow, right? To see them produce what? Fruit. Because we want to harvest that fruit. Because we like to eat. We want to see. Sometimes we get those mystery packets. You're like, well, let's plant these, see what this is. This is going to be a mystery in 45 to 90 days. we get curious, and then we really take care of it because we're like, I want to see what this seed reproduces. We want the reward for our labor. And how does that look spiritually in your life, church? Where is the fruit? 2021 is about growing because some of us are not doing so. Some of us are stagnant, we're not producing any fruit, and some of us may even look like a daggum dead branch hanging off. We got to get focused. And I'm talking about focused out of 2 Peter chapter 3 on growing. But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are going to get to know Him more, church. We are going to become what God wants us to be in His timing. Well, at least we're going to have the opportunities to. It's going to be up to each and every one of us if we're going to get on board and do so. We've been here for 3 years, okay? We've been here, we've seen God work amazing. He's done many things. I'm not saying that He hasn't, but it's time for us to truly get focused. And even if we have to do this in the midst of a pandemic, we're going to prevail because God is on the throne. And His will is for us to grow. His will is not for us to be hobbits and locked up and do nothing. His will is to be God-glorifying fruit bearers, like Tyler tells us, but like the Word of God tells us. We want to be reproducers that reproduce reproducers. Like, think about that. We want to reproduce, but what are we reproducing? Right? We plant a corn seed in the ground, and we expect it to reproduce corn. Right? And then that corn can reproduce corn. So on and so forth. We don't plant a corn seed in the ground and say, man, I hope this comes up like a green bean. That happens in our lives. What are you reproducing? What kind of fruit is coming out of your life? Because you need to be reproducing reproducers. You need to be reproducing those that can reproduce. And I'm not talking about reproducing yourself. I'm talking about reproducing Christ. Christ-likeness in others. We need to be about that business. Some of us need to be discipled. Some of us need to grow. Some of us need to be investing and reinvesting in other people. Some of us need to turn our focus off the business of this life and truly focus on what matters. Some of us need to surrender to God's call. Do you desire to be used by God? Maybe you need to surrender. God is calling each and every one of us to far more than what's happening in our lives today. You got to pull some weeds and take some rocks out of the soil. Prepare your heart to grow. Will you make a stand with me today and surrender? Surrender everything. Surrender it all to God. Will you stand up today and say before God and all of us as witnesses that you want more? That you want God to move and use you far beyond what the world has for you. Will you say what Peter wraps this book up with? Will you say, to Him be glory both now and forever, amen, in my life? Can you say that? Will you be willing to grow with me this year? That's a question that you need to consider. Will you suffer the flesh and make God the priority in your life this year? That's what we have to do. God has, not the number one the priority. God has got to be the priority of your life, of my life. Because we've got to quit making excuses of why we can't do something. Quit giving into the flesh. Every time we make an excuse, the flesh is like, booyah, victory. We got to let go. We got to let God have control. We have to let Him lead us and guide us. It's His will. It's His desire. Because He wants to lead us. As we grow, He wants us to grow. But we got to move out of the way in order for this to happen. The flesh has to die. There's so many instances in the Bible where God uses men and women that have doubts and concerns of how they're going to be able to do what God has asked them or instructed them to do. But guess what? God prevails. God works through us. Right now, He's instructing us to grow. And we're going to come up with some kind of excuse of why we can't do so. We have to say enough. with the excuses, brothers and sisters. Because God is far bigger than any excuse that we can come up with. I can make up an excuse for an excuse. Right? I can. God wants us to be faithful. God wants us to follow through on what we say we're going to do. And it's easy to get wrapped up by emotion and say, hallelujah, amen, yes, I want to grow. And then tomorrow comes and you're like, I ain't got time for that. I'm so busy. I got three other things I got to do today. I know, because I battle the same flesh, church. So what kind of soil is in your garden? Have you ever examined it? What is yours growing? Is it growing nothing? Are there weeds? Are there rocks? Is it producing fruit? Do the maintenance. I want you to write this down. This word grow right here. I'm not one of those guys that comes up as an acronym. Is that what that is, I think? I don't know. But God gave me something, and I want you to remember this year. And if I could have got smaller letters, I might have done this. But grow means to get ready, obedient worshipers, because we need to get ready. Growing is what's going to prepare us. So we need to get ready, obedient worshipers, because if you're growing, you're being obedient to God, if you're growing spiritually, okay? So we need to do that this year. We have to grow, and we have to prepare, we got to get ready, we have to be obedient as we worship the Lord with our lives. Because if we're not growing, what are we doing? A whole lot of nothing. But we're busy. Are you guys ready to grow? I'm ready to grow. I am ready. We should be ready to grow. Maybe today. You know what? If you want to grow in 2021, why don't you just stand up right where you're at today? Anybody bold enough to say, you know what? I want to grow. Oh, look at that. We need to grow, okay? We should. It's easy to stand, but we need to look at your neighbor right now and say, I want to grow with you in 2021. I do. And I want you to hold me accountable to that. Guys, this might seem as a game, and it's easy to say, but God wants us to grow. And He wants us to hold each other accountable. And He wants us to be serious about Him. If you stood up today and you made a profession today that you want to grow, you better be ready. It's going to be painful. There's going to be some weeds that got to be pulled out of our lives. There's going to be some things that have to happen. You guys can come up and go ahead and play. There's going to be some things that have to happen. There's going to be some decisions. There's going to be weeds in your life that you like, that you're going to have to just grab a hold of the root and rip out. And it's going to be painful. It's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take time. Because you know what? You pull one weed, sometimes two more grow, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. Weeds are terrible. You need to buy some Roundup, get some gloves, get a shovel, and let's get busy, right? That's what has to happen in our lives. We got to be serious about getting rid of the junk that's hindering our growth. Because that's what's happening. There's other things that are more prioritized in our life than growing in the knowledge and the grace of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father.